let's say you've got the box and it says you need these parts of the, you know, of the ingredients. What do you do if you're missing one? You know, maybe. Well, you know, let me just tell you that the resurrection is an ingredient we cannot do without. Some people say that you don't have to believe in the resurrection to be a Christian. Or what's the big deal about the resurrection? The truth is, the resurrection of Christ, that he was crucified and buried and rose again, is the critical ingredient for your salvation. If Christ did not rise from the dead, you know what? 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, you're still in your sin. You have no hope. And so the resurrection is extremely, extremely important. All right, so we're going to be going through a number of scriptures today and looking at this part of the movie, so to speak. And during the final, I need to pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Lord, that we are, by your grace and by putting our faith and trust in you, we're followers of Christ. And today means so much to us. It's like where Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we are remembering you, and we thank you, God, that this was your plan, that God the Son would die on the cross, taking our place, that he would be buried and on the third day rise again. So, Lord, I thank you that all of this took place, proving that you are God, proving that this is the way that a person is saved. Please guide my mind as we go through these scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be looking at Luke. And if you look in your Bible at the book of Luke, chapter 19 through 22, and that's where most of the scripture is taken from today. All of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all have the events of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, we're going to be looking primarily at the book of Luke. So during the final week of Jesus, so you might remember some of the details about the final week of Jesus, that Jesus was with his disciples, he was doing some teaching, and then he went to the garden to pray, and after he was in the garden and prayed, he was arrested, and so on. During that final week, I just want to tell you that Jesus taught absolutely incredible, vital things that we need to know and live right now, every day. And you're going to see some of those. So during the final week, Jesus prepares and leads his followers, first of all, to be imitators of God. Secondly, to know the reality of immediate persecution. He's telling his disciples, be ready. There is going to be persecution in your life. Third, to be prepared for future persecution. He talks in this passage about the things that are going to come. If you want to know about the end times, a lot of people want to know about eschatology, final things. Right here in Luke, in these final chapters, Jesus teaches about final things that are going to happen. The fourth thing, that they were to know their source of courage in the times of future tribulation. He says, you know, don't be faint-hearted to his disciples and to us. Don't be faint-hearted. You know, the world is going one direction and we're kind of swimming upstream as believers. And the last thing that I wanted to note was that he taught and prepared his followers to understand that a time of tribulation is yet ahead. And there would be a time of tribulation that's still coming. After the church is raptured, after the believers are raptured, and there's a group of 144,000 Jews, you've heard these things, and 144,000 Jews who are witnesses for Christ throughout the world during the time of tribulation. And Jesus talks about that. So I want to, this is kind of a look at the clock. The next slide just says, Jesus' crucial teaching in the days before the cross. All right? So I'm going to look with you up here at the screen. It's in my notes too, but I'm just going to read some things and make some simple comments. And here's why. I want to tell you what happened a little bit earlier in the movie, so to speak, before the resurrection, before the crucifixion. In Luke 19, Jesus gives the parable of the 10 minas. I think that's how you say that. In that, he explains that Christ will soon return, and he says to those faithful servants or unfaithful servants, will you be faithful and engaged until he returns? There are eternal consequences for everyone. Will you allow him to reign in your life so you'll hear those words, well done, right? We've heard people say that phrase where people say, when you get to heaven, Christ will say, well done, right? Good and faithful servant. That's where this comes from. And here's the deal. When Jesus was talking to the people in Luke 19, and he was talking about the faithfulness of individuals, will you be faithful? Will you follow me? Will you be engaged in my business, it says in the parable, but in the gospel work? And there were some in that passage who, it said, they hated their master, and they disregarded the things that he said. My question to you is, will you allow him to reign in your life? Will you allow him to be the king in your life? And so you will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Number two, in Luke 19, the people were welcoming Jesus as he came down from the Mount of Olives. Do you say, and this is my question to you, do you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Or will we leave praise to the stones? See, the people, as Jesus was coming in, the people were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then later in the week, there were a whole group of people who said, crucify him, crucify him. The question is, where are you? And he says, if you don't praise me, the stones will cry out in praise. You know, will you leave it to the stones? Or are you ready to give him praise as well? That's the challenge Jesus gives. Number three, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. They did not know the time of their visitation. Up at the sunrise service, we talked about this a little bit. When Jesus was coming into the city of Jerusalem, it says he looked out over the city and he wept. You know why he wept? Because after all that he had done, the miracles, the showing of his life, and the fact that he was deity, he was God, the people were rejecting him. And when the people rejected him, he said to them, you guys have missed the time of my visitation. I came into your presence and you missed it. You missed the point. You missed why I came. And he says in that passage, he wept over Jerusalem. They did not know the time of their visitation. You can read that. It's a very interesting passage of scripture. Then, because Jesus had healed the sick, he had forgiven sin, he'd fulfilled all prophecy, yet they rejected him. Have you responded to his call on your life? And really, this whole day is questions like these. The resurrection, the focal point of Jesus, of God's plan. Let's go to the next slide. The fourth thing, the people made his house a place of mockery. So he was teaching, and you remember he went in, he taught the people, and the people missed the point. What is his house to you? And that's what I just ask you. You know, there were people at that time who made going to church into a money-making opportunity, right? They were the ones who were buying and selling because people had to have a sacrifice. And so they worked out ways that they could benefit. And so they were coming to the house of God with wrong motives. And I just say to you, you know, what's your motive for being in church? What's your motive for walking with Christ? And, you know, our motive should be that we're humbled before God. He has saved us, and we're thankful to be here, thankful to worship him. Number five, Jesus taught daily in the temple, preaching the gospel. His life, his miracles, and teaching showed his deity. And that's just as clear as can be. You guys, that's the Bible in the gospels, this unfolding of who God the Son was. Do you believe what he said? Do you believe that he did those miracles? Can you see the evidence? And by the way, there were eyewitnesses to every one of those events. That's a big deal. If you get into a car accident And you're not sure who's to blame. You say, well, weren't there any eyewitnesses? Didn't somebody see what was going on? The people saw and they disbelieved. The sixth thing, Jesus taught the parable of the vineyard. So in the parable of the vineyard, as Jesus was teaching, he said, I'm going to, first of all, Jesus was with the disciples. And then it says in this parable that Jesus left here and went to heaven. And when he left, he handed the baton of responsibility to his people, right? And so are we being faithful with what we've been handed? So Jesus taught daily in the temple. He showed through his life and miracles, his deity, that he was God. The chief priests, scribes, and elders questioned his authority. Question is, will you come under his authority? Right? Scribes and Pharisees and elders, these people who were really religious, they questioned who Jesus was, why he had the authority to do what he was doing. Do you question his authority? I don't want to question his authority. I want to trust him, believe him, walk with him, and so on. Let's go to the next slide, please. So in this passage, Jesus in Luke 20 says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. You remember that phrase, right? Right? And it says, and unto God the things that belong to God. He said, pay your taxes and live for God. So you probably don't want to hear me say that. Pay your taxes and live for God. Basically, he said, you're going to have to live in this world, but anticipate being with me. So he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and render to God the things that are God's. You can expand on all these lessons if you just go ahead and read this passage. And number eight, the faithful to Christ will attain to the age of the resurrection. All are resurrected. So let me just break that down briefly. All faithful to Christ will attain to the age of the resurrection. In other words, there's a time where Christ will raise you from the dead. And if you're in Christ, you will be raised to be in his presence. But everybody is raised. The Bible says some are raised to glory and some are raised to judgment and destruction. Nobody just gets annihilated. God is very clear about that through the scripture, and Jesus taught on this more specifically. And these are just real short little snippets to try to summarize. Number nine, Christ is the Son of David. Christ is Lord to David. The eternal God is from everlasting, and he teaches about that. Jesus lived here. David lived 700 years before, right? David spoke about Jesus, and David said, my offspring, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild will be my Lord, okay? And so it's just an affirmation of who Jesus is. Let's go to the next slide. In number 10, beware of insincere and unqualified religious leaders. We need all of us to be prepared and watchful about religious leaders and religions. I tell people this simple thing. I'm a Bible-only guy. If it's in the book, that's what I believe. And it's not that other books written about the Bible can't be helpful, but this is the grid through which we see everything. And everything that we teach or everything that we learn should be consistent with his word. And so beware of insincere and unqualified religious leaders. And then the question to you is, are you discerning? It is important. Lots of you like to listen to Bible teachers and preachers, and you know what? We've got tons of great ones out there. You know, you can listen to your favorite Bible teachers. Just be sure they stick to the Word of God, right? They don't just tell you what you want to hear, but they actually teach the truth. Number 11, the faithful follower of Christ trusts Christ and lives sacrificially. Jesus talks about the widow's mite. It's the little story where Jesus is watching the people come into the temple. And people are giving their alms, their gifts. And some people with more ability give more. And then he points out this one widow who brings, and she has how much?
Two mites.
Two mites is the way it says it. And it says she gave all. And what does it tell you about her? She believed. She trusted God. If I give this to you in obedience, you will provide. And that's really the lesson. And we've talked many times how God wants and loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want, you know, begrudging. He wants a cheerful giver. But there's a teaching about, it's about the heart and where our trust is placed. What is our motive? Number 12, Jesus powerfully teaches on the end times and the tribulation. God will give you the words to say, endure to the end. Three concepts in that Jesus teaches in this week, just before the crucifixion. Jesus powerfully teaches on the end times and the tribulation. If you want to understand the times, and right now, if you read this portion of Scripture and you look at the news, you might say, wow, there's a lot of similarities about what's happening today and what Jesus said. You'll see that. The second thing in there, God will give you the words to say. He says in that passage that if you stand before someone who's persecuting you, right, don't worry about what to say. God says, you believe me, you trust me, I will give you the words to say. And that's, you just need to trust God that God will do that. The last thing, endure to the end. He says to all of us as believers to be enduring. Sometimes being a Christian is hard. Sometimes being a Christian is, you know, people are in your face, countering what you believe. Sometimes persecution will, and persecution will come. All who trust in Christ will suffer persecution of some kind. He says to us, endure. Be enduring. Realize this is not your eternity. This is not your home. Heaven is your home. So be enduring. Let's go to the next one. If you could jump to the next slide for me. Okay? He speaks in Luke 21 about the second coming of the Son of Man. Christ is returning. Be ready. Your redemption is drawing near. Beautiful passage of Scripture that he teaches on. And he just, so the rapture takes place, the tribulation happens, and then Christ will return again, the second coming of Christ. And he says to us, be ready, for your redemption draws nigh. And that redemption will either be in the rapture, and those for the 144,000 and the people who are believing, your redemption draweth nigh. Who is your redemption? It is Christ. Okay? In Luke 4, number 14, my words will never pass away. By the way, there's like 50 of these, and I only picked a few. And so in number 14, my words will never pass away. He says, watch yourselves. And I really wanted to just, if you would give your attention to these few words right here. Do not be weighed down with the cares of this life. Jesus teaches on this. Anybody here ever get weighed down with the cares of this life? Man, we do. We do. But just know in whom you believe and in whom you trust and who is taking care of you and who's providing for you. He says, my words, and you could say my promises, all of those things will never pass away. And then he says, watch yourself. Examine yourself. Look at your thoughts and your behavior. Just examine yourself. And then he ends up by saying, do not be weighed down with the cares of this life. We all have to live in two worlds. We all have to live here, where you have to do all the chores around your family and do all the responsible things for your family. But he wants you to be doing those while looking at him and trusting in him and being guided by him. So much more to say. Number 15, Christ is the Passover lamb. They've come together for the Passover meal. Christ is the Passover lamb. Christ's kingdom is coming. Remember him until he comes. Serve as he served. And my question, do you honor and worship and faithfully wait for his return? And that's really what he's asking of you. Do you honor him? Do you worship him? Are you excited about Christ's return? That's what he's offering to us. You can be very excited about his return. and awaiting him. Let's go to the next slide. We're winding down on the introduction. So, number 16. He talks about who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And what does he say? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? He says the greatest in the kingdom of God, when we're kind of looking at ourselves, is the servant. The servant. So he calls us. He comes to the disciples, and what does he do at that Passover meal? The disciples are all there, and there's nobody to wash the feet. So what does Jesus do? The greatest, the God himself, comes, and he kneels down, he takes a towel, and he takes water, and he washes each of the disciples' feet. And he says, you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Learn to be a servant. That's what he says. Number 17, what is written about me has its fulfillment. In Luke 24:44, on the hillside today, this one I said, this is my favorite passage of scripture, where it says Jesus looks back in the scriptures, Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, and he tells about himself. And I just want to say, what is written about Christ has its fulfillment. The prophecies have come true about Christ. Number 18, Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives, and he prays this, Father, you remember he's facing the cross. And when he's facing the cross, he says, Lord, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Right? He's a human being. He knows the suffering he's going to go through. He knows the weight of the sin that is going to come upon him. And he says, but Father, not my will. Your will be done. And what a lesson for us. And I think that's, not think, God is saying to us, is that what you want? You want the Father's will in your life as you move forward? Father, not my will, but your will be done. He goes through the betrayal, the arrest, the denial, the mocking and trials. Oh, and then this is really just kind of a funny one. Actually, it's tragic, but under 18 right there, it says he went through the betrayal, arrest, denial, mockings, and trials. And then, so they blindfold him, and they beat him up. And then they laugh, and they say, prophesy who hit you. I'm thinking, he knows exactly who hit him, you know. It's just kind of a turn of events, you know. Jesus knows all. Number 19, Jesus before Pilate and Herod. Very interesting. These two ungodly men say this about him. Jesus before Pilate and Herod, they say, we find no guilt in this man. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is handed over. How does the evidence add up to you? So Pilate got to hear the evidence. Herod got to hear the evidence. You get to hear the evidence. And what is your response? Do you say with those who believed, spare him, don't have him be crucified? Or are you yelling, crucify him, by the way you believe or not believe in Christ? Let's go to the next slide. Hey, what do you know? We finally made it through those. That didn't take too long. I just want you to know that during this time, and that's only a few of them, during this time, just before Jesus goes to the cross, he teaches all of these things. That's a powerful lot of teaching that he just laid out before the believers. I'll tell you, I can learn a lot, you can learn a lot from these lessons in these very simple passages of scripture. So here's the main question today. How central is the resurrection to biblical Christianity? How important is the resurrection to us as people who are followers of Christ? Let's go to the next slide.
Without which there is nothing.
That's right. Can you advance me to one more? Very good. So let's, okay, so the Old Testament teaches the resurrection of Christ. Let's go to the next slide. All right. So would you just, so we're looking at a clip of this DVD. We're going back now to the Old Testament, and Isaiah the prophet says this. Speaking of the coming Messiah, Isaiah the prophet says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. That's exactly what Jesus was characterized in the prophet Isaiah's words. Number 8. or verse 8, by oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And I just want to say to you that Isaiah the prophet was speaking, God was speaking through him, and Isaiah the prophet was telling what the Messiah was going to go through. And it says in this passage, he came and he was stricken for us. Okay? Number 9, verse 9, and they made his grave with the wicked. Where was Jesus crucified? Between two thieves, right? Criminals. They made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Where did the rich man come in? Joseph of Arimathea was there after they laid him in his tomb. Although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. So these are Old Testament prophecies speaking about the coming Messiah. So let's jump now to the next slide. And what I'd like to talk about for just a few minutes are some verses. Can you go to the next slide for us? There we go. What does the Bible teach about the resurrection? In John 11:25, Jesus is talking to Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus had died, right? And this is what happens. It says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. So can you just paraphrase with me? When Jesus says, though he die, yet shall he live. Speaking about us, though we die, yet we shall live. Does Jesus talk about eternity? Does Jesus talk about the future? Does Jesus talk about being prepared for the future? He sure does. The whole book is filled with it. Whoever believes in me, do you believe in him? Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. That's why it is so critical. I mean, the most important thing you could do is not get married, is not have a career, is not do those kind of things. The most important thing you could do is to believe in God the Son who died on the cross to forgive you of sin. That's the most important thing you could do. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he didn't mean that your body wouldn't die, but that your spirit, your soul would be saved and you would live with him forever. And then he will give you a new glorified body at some point. We'll talk about that someday. In 1 Peter, a whole different thought from the idea of the Apostle Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus had to be resurrected in order for him to be your Savior. And so Peter talks about the resurrection. Let's jump to the next slide. What does the Bible teach about the resurrection? In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, for since we believe, guys, this is the heart of who we are. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so apparently the people in Thessalonica believe this about the resurrection, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And that's a whole eschatological scene where Christ returns with those who have been raptured. And he says, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that is the resurrection. In John 6, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So not only was Christ resurrected, but you will be resurrected because you're in Christ. In Romans 8, it says, but if Christ is in you, have you believed and trusted in Christ? Because if you have, he's in you. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of, this is amazing, you guys, if the spirit of him, that's God, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That's amazing. So not only is it Christ who is resurrected, but he will give life to your mortal bodies. to save you. He'll take you to heaven. He's prepared a place for you. 1 Corinthians 6, and God raised the Lord Jesus and will also raise us up by his power. Some people believe that there is no heaven. Some people believe that there is no future. Some people believe that there are many and various ways to be saved. I'd say this book and the first book and this book that is filled with prophecy and fulfillment and fact, so many things, is the basis upon which we believe and which Christians believe. There's no question how important the resurrection is to us as believers in Christ. Let's continue. Just a couple more. In Romans 6, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And then I love this Old Testament passage, way back to the book of Daniel. And Daniel says, but at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found in the book. There's a lot to be said about that. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And this is Daniel's early conclusion. Some people will awake to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So there is the resurrection of both the Christ and all people. Some will be raised because there are two destinations, to heaven or to hell, to be with God or to be absent from God. And Daniel speaks to it. I just want you to know, is the resurrection central to our Christian life? Oh, man. Let's go to the next slide. So in summary, about the resurrection, he, God, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So God had a plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. Christ came, Emmanuel, God with us, and Christ lived, and then Emmanuel, God with us, God himself died in our place, the miracle of the Trinity, died in our place, bearing the penalty of our sin so that you could be forgiven. Your job is to believe, place your trust in him, and obey him and serve him. That's what he calls us to do. Okay, number two, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up. Would you just look at that as a personal invitation? Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him. Right now, you're looking on the Son. All this information, you're looking on the Son. You're seeing it on the screen. You're seeing it in your Bible. You're hearing it with your ears. You're seeing it with your eyes. It says, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And Jesus says, and I will raise him up. Question is, do you believe? Will you trust him? You know, do you say, all these crazy people at Pioneer Bible Church, what are these people talking about? Well, this is the whole message. Number four, he, God, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies. And the fourth point, these are all right out of Scripture. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so that we too might walk in newness of life. Let's go to the next slide. If you ever wondered if the resurrection was truly vitally important to your eternity, here is what the Bible firmly teaches. Okay, and I think we'll end up with this last passage right here. There's a few slides, but let's just walk through it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, okay? And Dan told me I had till 10:45, so I still got lots of time. You guys are probably wishing for a seventh inning stretch. That's it. Thanks, man. Good to see you again, brother. 1 Corinthians 15. This is this amazing passage that Paul writes to the Corinthian people, and he just summarizes the whole resurrection. This is really crucial because this determines where you will spend eternity. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. By the way, all that I'm talking about right now, God the Son going to the cross, being buried for you, on the cross, bearing the penalty of your sin, being buried and rising again. That is the nugget of the gospel. You'll see it right here. I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel, the good news that I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand. If you know Christ, that's where you're standing. That's the foundation your faith is upon. Amen? And it says this, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And the truth is, people will hear this message and go, I don't need that. Good breakfast this morning, but I don't need anything else. You know, he says, unless you believed in vain. This is you committing your life to follow Christ. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Let's go to the next slide, please. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day. Okay. I know that I'm just hitting the same nail over and over and over again. But today is Resurrection Sunday. So it says that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Just point out that's the Old Testament scriptures. Nothing else is written yet as Paul's writing. Gospels may have been in process. And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12 eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. So during this writing, most of these witnesses were alive. Let's go to the next slide. Then he appeared to James and then to the apostles. And then last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me, Paul says. I got to see him. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He's very honest about that. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, and this is kind of a commendation of his own work, he says, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached and so you believed. The gospel, the heart of the gospel message is this that we've just been talking about. The purpose of Paul's life was now he went from persecuting Christians to preaching Christ. It became the most important thing to him. Let's go to the next slide. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, so do you all agree that the Bible says Jesus rose from the dead? It does say that. Good. Okay. You all passed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how is it that some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Paul just says that. It's like, that's exactly what people are saying right now on Larry King Live and other places. Oh, Larry King's gone. Whoever's in his place. Right? But people are saying there's no resurrection from the dead. Verse 13, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ is raised. Okay? And if Christ has not been raised, then all this preaching that I'm doing today and everybody else is doing is in vain. And your faith is in vain. No purpose. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is worthless. Christ had to rise from the dead. 15, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom, if the dead are not raised, he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. There's kind of a tongue twister. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. So it's just a logical conclusion as Paul writes these words and he says, you know what? If Christ has not risen, then your faith is useless. And if Christ has not risen, you have no hope. We do have hope because he is risen indeed. Let's go to the next slide. So what's so important about the resurrection? Go to the next slide. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, any believers who died before this, they've perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, in other words, you Christian people like hanging out at church together in your big social club. But he says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, man, then we're of all people most to be pitied. And this is the conclusion. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, that was Adam, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, I think I should stop. So let's go to the next slide. I just want to take a quick, Peter establishes, and Peter does a great job in the book of Acts chapter 2. You should read that sometime. That's a marvelous affirmation of the same thing. Can you go to the slide? This can be hard to find, but go ahead to where it says 3 days later. There it is. Here we go. Luke. We're finally to Luke 24. That's where we're shooting for all this time. This is today. On the first day of the week, early at dawn, they went to the tomb. They took spices that they had prepared. Even the women who were disciples of Jesus and the disciples themselves had a hard time grasping that indeed Christ was going to rise from the dead. Have you ever known anybody rise from the dead? All the dead, well, almost. But all the people that I know who have died are still dead. Some who were close, we got to see them raised up. Now, you may have heard of other miracles, but the truth is they went to the tomb with spices because they didn't embalm people at that time. They would just cover the bodies with spices. Why? Because there was a terrible stench, and after a few days, they needed to cover that, because if they wanted to be in the presence of the body, they needed to cover the body with spices so that it didn't smell terrible. They went to the tomb to see the dead body of Jesus and to anoint him with spices. When they went to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So, the tomb where Jesus had laid had a large stone rolled in front of it. The tomb was sealed, and it was sealed with the seal of Pilate, probably, or the Roman guard. When Jesus rose from the dead, he came right through, right out of the grave clothes, that's a good probably thing to fold your clothes, you know. Jesus took time to fold his clothes, lay them on the place where he had been laid, and he was gone from the tomb. The angels came to the tomb, and they rolled away the stone. That's how the women knew that the body of Jesus was gone. They just didn't know he had been resurrected. They thought somebody had done what? Stolen the body of Jesus. When they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, they went in and didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, two men, these are angels, were standing by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their heads to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And that's what Jay read to us. Why do you seek? And what were the angels proclaiming, you guys? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He had risen. So I know, again, I'm just pounding this nail in over and over and over again, but you need to know that the resurrection of Christ is the pivotal event, the promised event. It is the pivotal event of our faith and our trust in Christ, and it is what we look back on and what we remember at Easter, and it's what we celebrate when we even have the Lord's Supper together, celebrating his death until he comes. He is not here. He has risen. Don't you remember how he told you? And see, the blessing for us is we get to read it in Scripture whenever we want. You can read the Old Testament, the Gospels, the New Testament epistles, and you can read all about his resurrection. Jesus had told them, prophecy had been written. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And then returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. So I think we're going to jump right to the end. And I think one more picture. We've even got a picture of the empty tomb. Kind of cool. If you ever get to go to Israel or Jerusalem, maybe that's what it looks like. I don't know. I haven't been there. But something like that. And so we're going to sing a song. So I'm going to invite the worship team up, but I'd like to just say a couple of simple things. Today, the most important thing that you could do is see all of this evidence. John 6 says, God is drawing people to himself. He's drawing you. He's drawing you to himself. You have a decision to make. Will you resist his drawing, or will you submit to his drawing? Will you say, Lord, I need you. I need to believe in you. I want to put my faith and trust in you. I want to be saved. Man, that's what we want more than anything else. That's what I want for you. It's what I want for your families, want for your kids, your grandkids, our neighbors. I was talking to one of the brothers up on the hill. We were talking about folks who seem so far from God. How could they ever come to Christ? Pray for them. Tell them the truth. Invite them to know Christ. He wants to save them. So we're going to sing a simple little chorus. It's up there. So let me pray and then we'll sing. Father, I thank you that you have risen. Thank you that you're God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That God the Son went to the cross on my behalf, paid the sin, the penalty of sin for me, went to the cross in my place. He gives me now an invitation to believe, to trust, follow him. And Lord, I pray for anybody here who is still on the deciding place in their life, that they would decide to put their faith and trust in you. Lord, you can't mistake the heart of the message of the Bible. And it is this gospel news. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a sweet fellowship.